I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Jules and Jim's Joyride 2021.
New season, new ideas, new guests, same old shit.
Hello and welcome to this week's guests, who are often seen riding tandem on a bicycle, singing in harmony, yes, scratching each other's backs, because it's the first time, Jules, isn't it, that we've got a Mr. and Mrs. on.
It's a pod first.
It's a pod first. It's Sanjeev Bhaskar and Mira Sayal, yes. Mr. and Mrs.
Yay!
Yes.
Thank you very
Fantastic.
Much.
Fantastic. It's wonderful to have you both here, both extraordinarily talented in your own right. Writers, producers, actors. I mean, to have all of this and to have both of you here is indeed a great moment. First of all, are you keen on transport and travelling around?
I love travelling.
Ah.
Transport, not so hot on. I don't know much about anything mechanical, so don't ask me about car makes or
no,
anything like that. But I do like to get in things and travel, for sure.
Where have you been then?
Yes.
Where haven't we been? Been all over.
What reason? All right, so let's make a fine tune of this question. Where have you been in the last year? Where have you been in the last week?
Oh, that's a trick question. It's a trick question. It's a trick question, Mira. Don't answer it.
Yeah.
Who's the driver?
Don't answer that. It's a trick question. He's trying to trap us.
I know, I can feel it.
In the last year, we haven't been anywhere.
No, not at all.
But before that, Italy probably was the last place we went to.
Whereabouts? I want to go to Garda.
Oh my God.
That's on my list.
To the lake.
Yeah.
Not the Irish police.
No.
I want to go to Garda with the Garda.
Have you noticed, because of his recent role, how Sanjeev's each question, he's either been very cautiously about people trying to trap you with questions, answers, or everything reverts to a police sort of thing. Has it affected you a lot by playing a policeman all the time?
I mean,
do you have a policeman's mind now?
Yeah, a little bit does seep in.
Do you get to drive in a cop car?
Not a very nice one, because that's the one thing you kind of... I mean, I do love cars. I always have done. But now I get to drive a very ordinary car. Because you kind of look at other, you know, cop shows and films, and you want to end up driving a, you know, an Aston Martin DB5 or a Batmobile.
Once I hired an American cop car for my wife's birthday to take us to a restaurant, and he said, the person who owned the company said, they'll come out to the outside of your house, the sirens will go off, and then a voice will come over the tunnel and say, Nancy, you've been arrested. Come out of the house with your hands up. And so I said, he's out there now. So I went out. I said, are you going to do it? He went, no, I'm too shy. Well, you're in the wrong job here then, aren't you? When I remember playing cop, I've played a cop a few times, but you get a real different approach by other people when if you're in uniform. Shopkeepers want to give you stuff for free. People either give you a look of disdain or doff the caps. And
did you find that, Sanjeev?
No, because I'm always plain clothes, so I just look like, you know, me. And so nobody wants to give me anything.
No, I suppose that's right. except information, perhaps.
Well, you know, if I kind of plumb them for it. Mm. Is that the right term? No, you pump them for information.
Plumb them.
I plumb them.
Yes.
It's the last thing they're expecting.
That's what you've been doing wrong, sir.
Yeah. Figuratively around the U-bend.
So returning to the transport, you said you've both been to Italy. What do you like to do when you go on, you know, because you're both very busy. So when you go on holiday, when you travel, do you travel to do work when you're away, or do you travel just to go and see the sights?
It has to be absolute relaxation, doesn't it?
Well, you can't switch your creative brain off. So even when you're away, you're filing away things. But I know that we don't want to just have a beach holiday where you do nothing. You know, that can be a couple of days, but you want to see stuff. So Italy's great for that, because there's...
It's great for everything.
For every kind of 100 yards, there's a kind of loop of oh, look, that's really interesting. Gosh, that's really old. That's really beautiful. Look, there's somewhere to eat.
Yes, and that's just constantly. And there's some lovely spaghetti.
Yeah,
how's that now? Yeah.
I remember we went to Memphis, and is a big Elvis fan. So, and there was lots to cover there with Graceland and Sun Studios, but they also had the best museum I've ever been to, which is the Museum of Civil Rights, which is built on the back of the Lorraine Motel where Martin Luther King was assassinated, and they've kind of built it sort of behind that. So that was perfect because it's, first of all, you had the music, all the blues that was down the street that you could listen to, which was incredibly relaxing. But then you had all these interesting things to, and that all feeds in. At some point, that will come out somewhere in your work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Have you done, you haven't written though something about Memphis or anything yet, have you?
Not yet.
Oh, interesting bit of promise there.
Yeah.
But Elvis was a person known for his cars, wasn't he? Let's face it. I mean, he had some pretty extraordinary cars. Didn't he sort of have a new Cadillac every year? Was that his sort of thing?
Didn't he have a car made in the shape of a guitar? Or was it a swimming pool?
Was it a swimming pool? Or was it a speedboat? When was it a swimming pool?
You could have a piano-shaped one.
Well, Liberace had one of those.
Did he? A car in the shape of a piano?
No. He had a piano-shaped swimming pool.
Well, I think it's about time people had cars built in the shape
of the future.
You could have one. I mean, if you had a vehicle in the shape of, you know, as a writer, producer, an actor, what would your vehicle be? How would you make it up? A giant pen, perhaps?
A laptop.
Yeah, that's so boring, isn't it?
It is, really.
A laptop on wheels.
A quill would be so much better.
Yeah.
A quill would be good. Yeah.
Well, that's a ship, actually. That's a boat, isn't it? Because the feather would be the same.
Yes. Mm. It's also classy. It says history and
wisdom.
It's
drawing attention to yourself, though.
Yes.
Did you go to Elvis's, where he was born, in Tupelo?
I haven't been to Tupelo, no. Yeah, that shotgun shack.
Yes, you can go in it. But that's rather good because it represents a journey that was his, you know, as you can see, this tiny little shack that he was born in. Mm-hmm. And the old lady who was a fan of his, who was there showing us around, said, yeah, and Elvis used to come back here with Priscilla, drive back from Memphis on a Sunday afternoon in one of the Cadillacs and look at this and then go back away again.
Mm. Was it a tiny shack?
Two-room country shack with hardly anything in it, you know.
I've seen Dylan Thomas's shed in Wales where he wrote his poems on the... Have you been there?
No, that sounds good.
I think, as far as I remember, it's on the cliff edge. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I digress.
Samuel Beckett could only write facing a brick wall.
Could he?
Is that right?
Yeah. I think either his study was one window with a brick wall directly outside, or it was just all brick walls with a door behind it.
Is that because he found it too diverting?
Yeah.
And when you write, where do you write?
In my study, which of course is just a glorified word for the bedroom that's become a study. But yes, we both have separate workspaces.
And do you find it, I mean, if you're writing, you're going on a journey that you're inventing in your mind, aren't you?
Yeah.
So do you find it helps to be able to look out the window? I mean, what's the view out of your window when you're going on your writing your journeys?
A very nice little balcony, which we've sort of made with, you know, a little table out there and then the garden. So that is quite nice. But I've got loads of, you know, it's very teenager, but I've just got loads of pictures up that just make me feel creative or happy. So
what, posters?
Postcards of my favourite paintings, or just, you know, letters that...
Backstreet Boys and that sort of thing.
Yeah, obviously.
Then and now.
Obviously a life-size model of Sanjeev, which I occasionally...
No, that's me.
...look to for inspiration.
That's not a life-size model.
Oh, yeah,
that's him just
right.
Stood in the corner.
With a cup of tea.
Waiting to be told what to do.
But I think it's different for everybody. But, I know some people can't stand the distraction of anything. They just need complete blank. Some people have to listen to music. I can't listen to music and write. I find that too distracting.
I would think that would be impossible. It's too much to a distraction.
If I'm painting, I will select the music to accompany whatever I'm doing. If I'm doing something calming, I'll have on a drone, something that's quite droney. Or I might want to put some jazz on, I go freeform with a bebop.
Ooh,
Yeah,
you see that now. Having following your paintings and pictures that you're putting on Instagram, I'm now kind of working through which pieces of music you've had for which one.
Yeah, but
very
it's true.
Because there were lovely birds for a while.
Well, that
calming.
If I'm doing them, I have nothing on at all.
Oh,
because
okay.
That's a separate. That's not in my studio. That's a separate studio.
That's music,
studio.
Not clothes, right? Are we switching?
Yeah, nothing on at all.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
And Sanjeev, you said you were a bit of a carist, whereas Mira is not a carist.
Mm, love cars, yeah.
What was the first car that you wanted to have?
It's still the car I'd want to have, which is the Aston Martin DB5. It was kind of, you know, watching the Bond films. They all came from television or movies. So, and all the, you know, the classic cars from the 60s. I've always been tied to the late 50s and 60s kind of musically and films, and that's what I'm kind of drawn to. And the design for that period as well, which was kind of out there and outlandish and sort of optimistic. I think a lot of those designs are quite optimistic. They still had the fins on the cars, all that kind of stuff. And then cars were required then to become more practical over the years. But there was a certain optimism within that impracticality that I really liked.
Yes, I agree with you. I think they were very optimistic. Sort of. It's interesting, people generally like childhood luxury items that they see as in their childhood, you know, and it stays in your mind. Although, of course, everything moves on, that thing stays as the great dramatic thing.
I'm just wondering why, you know, boys do seem to latch onto transport really early on, yeah. And certainly girls of my generation didn't. It could be, you know, conditioning.
Is it going right
or just
back to, like, you know, hunter-gatherers, and the men have to go off
with something
in their cars?
Looking for an easy way to get out there.
Yeah. Yeah, in their Ford Anglias, off they go.
Off they go with
Stone
Age spears.
Although, weirdly, I can remember the registrations of lots of my parents' early cars.
Me,
like,
too.
Their first Mini was FRE122E, and I still remember it.
That's a good number plate to have.
Mira certainly has a fear of one particular type of vehicle, which...
Which one?
I don't know, Teddy Bear's Picnic? Does that kind of...
Oh, God, yes, that story, yes. Well, I was really bad at maths. This is going somewhere. Failed it every single year and then got to the horrible realisation in them days, if you didn't get an O-level maths, you actually couldn't go on to do your A-levels. It was quite a big deal. So my mum and dad hauled in a maths tutor. Now, I put inverted commas around that. He was a friend of theirs who was a maths graduate. But, of course, being an immigrant, he couldn't get a job being a maths graduate. So he was, in fact, an ice cream man. And he would turn up for my weekly tutoring sessions in the ice cream van with his chimes on and park on the drive and bring us partly thawed cheap ice cream that we put in the freezer as a treat, saying, you take it, really, it's my gift. But it had this weird effect on me. So every time I now hear the Teddy Bear's Picnic, I get the algebra sweat because I feel like the maths tutor's coming. And it's really stuck in my mind.
Could he not turn it off? He just, or was it just an announcement that he was arriving?
I think he was drumming for business. You know. Yeah. Look like a humble ice cream man, but actually I'm really bloody good at algebra.
Yeah,
I'm putting the chimes on.
Anybody else in the street needs here's the chime.
Exactly.
My trumpet player, what's it been called, John Scott, he told me that when he was a little boy and they heard the chimes of the ice cream van, his dad would say, oh yeah, they're bringing those because they've sold out.
cruel, isn't it?
I remember there was a Mr. Whippy copyist in Greenwich called Mr. Wipey.
That's right, I remember him.
Do you remember him? Mr. Wipey.
Yeah, Mr. Wipey. And he had a... Yeah,
I don't like the sound of that.
No, you wouldn't, would you?
No.
What was his other skill?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But going back to your trip to Memphis, do you bring things back from your holidays? Are you souvenirists?
Yes, I think we are little souvenirs, yeah.
I can't stop always buying bits. What did you get? What did you bring back from Memphis?
We brought back some fabulous sauces, didn't we, from Memphis?
Yeah, that's the great thing about one of the many great things about travel. It is kind of just eating the local food and then picking up their spices and bringing them back. So yeah, there was some salt seasoning. I remember there was when we were leaving at Memphis Airport. It was in my bag, and the guy who opened it was checking the bag. Just looked at me and went, "Salt seasoning." It was kind of like, am I supposed to repeat it? Is this a repeat thing? I don't know what the rules are now. And I just said, yes. And he said, yeah, salt season it.
Actually, okay. It's got you into trouble, your food imports and exports. You remember your Marmite story?
Oh, flipping egg.
That was quite hairy.
I was filming in India and someone had said, if you kind of have a spoon of Marmite every day, it kind of keeps the mosquitoes at bay.
What was that true?
I believe it is, because I think it's the yeast in it, because it comes out in your pores and
they don't like it.
They don't like it. Well, they can either take it or leave it.
Yeah.
So I had a little pot of Marmite that was in my carry-on bag, and I got pulled aside at Mumbai Airport with this kind of guy with epaulettes with stars on it, and it's quite senior, and he kind of pointed at this pot, and he said, "What is this?" And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's Marmite. You put it on toast." And he looked at me really suspiciously, and he said, "Eat it then." So I had to kind of like go, "No, it's kind of." And he still kind of went, "What are you? I just smelt it, and that's nothing edible at all." So I was lucky to get away with that. So I said, "You can throw it away if you want."
So you did eat a morsel of it, did you, in front of him?
I had to, yeah.
Yeah.
I've often thought that with those things that they take off and throw them in a bin round the back, I expect they all go around there at the end of the day and have a fish around and bring out bottles of whiskey and honey and stuff, don't they?
For sure.
Yeah, yeah.
They must do. They don't throw it away.
How about boats? Do you ever go on a cruise or anything like that? Are you a boatist at all?
Oh, I love being on the water. It's my favourite thing. Favourite thing. I actually did. I went on a cruise. It was the last bit of travel I did before lockdown, but that was for a travel show. I can take or leave cruising. It's fine when you're being treated and you're in the luxury cabin, but we hit 2 days of terrible weather, and then it's just not so much fun because you are stuck on a floating prison with a lot of people being sick.
Yeah. It's not great. I did a documentary up the Bristol Channel, and I was there for about 2 weeks in the most awful rainstorms when the rain was that horizontal. And I'd made the mistake of wearing a big leather coat. It was a Second World War leather coat, actually. It was solid. It weighed a ton, and then as soon as it got rained on, it was about 10 times heavier. So it was actually wearing a house. And I spent 2 weeks
squeaking. I bet you squeaked as well, didn't you?
What kind of boat were you in?
It was small. It was about, I would say, about 40 foot. It was like a small version of a ship. But, you know, I was stood on the back of it.
Isn't that just a description of a boat?
Yeah, it was, yeah. I'm trying to think. It wasn't a big ship. It wasn't a small boat. It was somewhere in between.
Now, I have never been to India, but one of the things that I'm told, one of the things that makes me want to go there, are the railways.
Yeah, I mean, particularly going up into the mountains. There are kind of, because there are smaller gauge railways. There's a smaller gauge railway that takes you up to Shimla, which was the summer capital during the days of the Raj. And there's a small gauge railway that takes you up to Darjeeling as well. And those are just stunning journeys. I mean, they're kind of slow, but you feel like you're on a toy train because of the size of it, but what you see out the window is extraordinary. I mean, the big train journeys across India are pretty much like big train journeys anywhere. You know, they're fast and sleek, and it's like you're inside an aeroplane, really, in terms of the way the seats are laid out. But those older trains, the smaller gauge ones, haven't been updated, so a lot of them are steam trains and that's wonderful, actually. You get that sense of history that, and also just the artistry of creating railways and carriages, and you know, it all feels very tangible in a way that modern electric trains can't really. So you can't see any of the mechanics on an electric train, but on those steam trains, it's like a living, breathing beast at the front
with wooden carriages that have been made by human hand.
Yeah,
yes, yeah. Lovely. Still a lot of that old style glamour. It's very.
Do you like travelling? Have you ever done the Orient Express or anything like that?
Do you know, that's the one we've always talked about that. We'd love to do the Orient Express to Venice. Increasingly, maybe it's a thing that happens when you get older, but you begin to think, you know, there's so much more of the world I haven't seen. But also, I've got to cram it in now.
But also, even, you know, that's kind of physical travel. But the thing that I've always thought is, you know, when I was a kid, when we were all kids, if you wanted to know something, a fact, you know, you had to ask someone. And if they didn't know, you had to go to the library. And if you went to the library and the book wasn't there, you had to ask the librarian if the book was coming back, or whether there was a physical journey that you had to take.
For
discovering anything. Mm-hmm. Whereas now you can just do it on your phone.
Yeah, that's right. When I wanted to learn about Boogie Woogie Piano, I got on the 53 bus with a bus pass, age sort of 10, went to Soho in my little shorts.
Age 10?
Yes, went to, 10? Yeah, in those days, people skipped past the doorways of Beckoning Sin and went into Dobell's little record shop, as it was then, jazz record shop, and they gave me, and in the booth, listened through to lots of records.
I remember when I was 10, no, I was a bit older, I was probably 12, I was obsessed, and probably still am, with shoes. But I'd seen a pair of desert boots, which I really liked the look of, and it was about 15 miles away. So and I didn't dare tell anyone because it was so sad. I went and got on a bus and went the 15 miles just to, on a Sunday, to look through the window at them.
Oh, that is sad.
But it's all
and lovely too.
Yeah,
mainly sad. Yeah, but also lovely, in that order.
But I think that's a really good point, though. I think we're all from the generation where we were pretty much left to our own devices a lot of the time as kids. I mean, I grew up in the country, in a little village, and I would, from the age of about 8, I'd leave the house on my bike in the holidays, and my mum would have to come and call for me in the fields when it started getting dark.
So hold on.
And I was just left to my own devices. And there were several times I probably could have drowned, or I fell out of trees, or did things I shouldn't have done. But there was no one policing me, and actually it gives you this incredible sense of independence, kind of all sense of freedom, of discovery, of curiosity, of self-reliance, and confidence. Now look at how cosseted our kids are, how much we worry about them going places on their own, or that they don't have that freedom. It was just a fantastic childhood, really. Mm. And obviously I got into quite tricky, risky scrapes, but I learnt also to get out of them. Mm. And that's probably what our kids are missing out on.
And to learn how to avoid getting into them, perhaps.
Exactly. You get very street smart.
We interrupt this to bring you a message from our sponsors.
Hey, Jules.
Yes?
If you were involved in a car crash that left you and your passengers stranded on the hard shoulder of the A1 for over 6 hours, would you make the awful decision to eat one of your tyres?
I'm afraid I would, but only if they were Michelin standard. As the world slowly goes back to normality, where are you looking forward to going to? What sort of place are you in? What journeys are you most looking forward to?
Well, I mean, you kind of realise it's such a privilege to go anywhere. But, I mean, Italy's always one to go to. India, I mean, it's to cut back to, you know, transport being the theme, the most incredible vehicle I've ever been on was in India.
What's that?
It's an elephant.
Of course.
The 4x4 of the forest, it was described to me as.
Okay. Tell us about the elephant and your transport there.
Well, I did a documentary which was looking for tigers in the wild, and that was the only way you could get into the thickest part of the jungles and the forest were on elephants. I mean, you know, there's I understand that debate about, you know, elephants should be free and wild, and I kind of largely agree with that. I don't think animals should be treated cruelly at all. But then horses are kind of used for transport and riding on, so I wasn't quite sure what the difference there was. But nevertheless, the experience of being on an elephant, it's you're kind of, whatever, 12 feet up anyway. And they can go places that vehicles can't. So it was, and in the end, we kind of did see a tiger, which was probably less than about 15 feet.
And you're high up, so you kind of feel safe.
You do, yeah.
Because a tiger's not going to go for an elephant, is it?
It's unlikely. I mean, the elephant that we had a few scars where I think it had been attacked by a leopard. But the tiger was just doing its own thing.
because I've been on an elephant, and you do feel very, they're very sure-footed, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, I went through a river on one, and I thought, this is just like, it's just knows exactly what it's doing. I'm going to leave it be. The forklift of the natural world.
But it's an extraordinary experience, because, as you were saying, Jim, you know, the sure-footedness makes you feel quite secure, although initially it does sway.
Yeah.
From side to side, which makes you kind of go, oh, I'm going off. No, I'm not. But yeah, it's just extraordinary to be in the depth of that much kind of dense jungle as well, and to keep moving.
I think it'd be good to have an elephant around London. I think it'd be really useful.
Oh, it'd be fabulous.
Wouldn't it? It'd be great. You'd be above the traffic, lovely views of everything. No traffic jams, just keep walking, just walk over the cars.
Or you can have a car decorated in the shape of an elephant.
Yes.
Get a driver, and then you just sit on the top, waving to people in a kind of royal way.
Yeah, that's a very nice thought, thank you.
Until you get arrested.
Can I nominate my favourite transport then?
Yes.
It is a wild dolphin.
Have you been on
have
a
you?
Wild...
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
I have swum with Fungi, the wild dolphin, in Dingle Bay many, many years ago, about 25 years ago.
No.
So I was obsessed with dolphins. And I knew that there was a wild one in Dingle.
Where's Dingle?
Dingle is in Southern Ireland. And it's where they filmed Ryan's Daughter, that amazing...
Oh, right, yeah.
It's beautiful. And I didn't like the idea of swimming with captive dolphins, so I went where the wild dolphin was. And foolishly, just no wetsuit, nothing, sat on the shoreline thinking, well, I'm sure the dolphin will come along. Little man chugged by in his boat. It turned out to be the local marine biologist called Kevin. And said, what are you doing? I said, I want to swim with the dolphin. He said, well, you'll need a wetsuit, but also the dolphin knows my outboard motor, so if you get on here with me, he'll probably turn up. And he did.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
And I got in the water. It's bloody freezing, but I had Kevin lent me a wetsuit. I know, it still seems mythical when I... And I played with Fungi in the water for an hour, and he let me hold on to his back fin and pulled me along.
Did he? For how far?
20 miles.
It's all right. Yeah, you can let me go now, Fungi. Absolutely extraordinary experience.
But first of all, I wonder if, because you were thinking about longing to swim with the dolphin.
Longing, yes.
That, do you think that thought went out and sort of went out, had reached him?
I kind of do. I know it sounds a bit hippy-dippy, but honestly, when you get into the water with an animal, I mean, specifically a dolphin, who are so incredibly intuitive and intelligent, and you are in their territory and they're much more comfortable, and yet they accommodate you, because dolphins are one of the few animals that, like humans, play for fun and are sociable for fun and are curious for fun. They have an absolute sense of the joy of finding out stuff, and that extends to people. And so he played tag with me. It was really quite incredible. He'd come up behind me and nose me, bump me, and then swim off again. I mean, of course, I couldn't keep up, so I'd swim a bit further, and then he'd come up behind me and nudge me again. And I was saying to Kevin, does he normally do this? And he went, yeah, with the people he knows. He said he's so many people come and try and see him, and he gets put off because there are just too many boats in the bay. But because Kevin had been studying him and he knew the sound of his boat, he came. So I feel... so blessed that I had that experience.
So you got the dolphin tick of approval.
I got the dolphin tick of approval.
It sounds to me like he was just showing off a bit. Look, I can swim right. Yeah. Oh, have a look at this. Oh, can't keep up. Oh, just do it again, shall we? God,
yeah.
How fantastic. And you felt like you communicated with him.
Totally. It felt like it really did feel like a spiritual experience. And I think you're right. That I was, you know, young and naive and totally in love with, you know, wildlife and particularly dolphins. And I think that utter sort of... just that desire I had to have that experience somehow brought him along. So, yeah.
Or he got the letter.
Oh, that'll be it, won't
it?
Yeah,
the fan letter that you
wrote. No, his agent did actually say that he had a window that afternoon, so that's probably what he was. But anyway, yeah, I'd forgotten about it. But of course, if you can nominate elephant as transport, then I feel I could nominate Fungi the dolphin as transport.
And that's wonderful, because that is, without question, an absolute transport first for us. you never thought about... I mean, the thing about visiting a dolphin in swimming with it, which is so fantastic and very calming for both of you, that you, of course, can go and swim with the dolphin, but later on, it's not like you can have him round.
No, exactly.
And cycle in your village with you, because exactly. he just can't do that.
He just can't do that.
You could nudge him and say, look, oh, keep up with this.
As he flip-flaps on the ground, not being able to move.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for your attention and your time. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone involved in the whole project, Sanjeev and Meera. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. What a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, there goes Meera and Sanjeev travelling home. She on a dolphin.
Yes, and he beautifully riding an elephant.
What an image. How does she get that dolphin to travel on land? We'll never know. This podcast was produced and edited by Molly Stewart.
Sound engineers were James Stewart and George Latham.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.